This podcast is part of the Podcast Arcade Network.
Hello, and welcome to the Covert Nerd Podcast. Thanks for listening. It means a lot to me that you take the time out of your day to hear what I have to say. Today is another episode from the Starfighters Entertainment Group 24-hour live event that we did several weeks back. You can go on Facebook to Starfighters Entertainment Group to find all the other events that went on. This one is a death match that we did with the guys from Omug and the Art of Lee Bachma. You can go to covertnerd.net for more episodes and more details on how you can get in touch with me. And you can also visit our sponsors at rainbowcomicsandcards.com. You can also find them on Facebook as well. Without further ado, let's dive right in and nerd it up with a death match with the Omug guys. This is a nerd death match, and there might be a murder or two. We will
see. There could be, yeah.
You guys kind of know how it works. We'll just go back and forth and present our character, present our case. Then we let the battle begin and present why we think our character should win. So I'll go ahead and we'll start. I'll go ahead and start with ours, if that's fine, or you guys go. It doesn't matter to me, but...
Hey, it's your show, man. Lead the way.
Okay. All right. Thanks, by the way, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
We talked too many times about doing this. We never actually have gotten around to doing it. So
I know. We have to wait till a virus shows up and then do it, you know. So, all right. Well, we've got the first matchup is going to be our side for me and Lee Bachma is going to be Lincoln Hawk. From the movie Over the Top from 1987. You guys all rewatch this one? Yeah. Yeah, I got to get your... Yeah, there. I was just going to ask you to do that, Ben. That might be our secret weapon. You turn...
You gotta... That's right.
So, anyway. Lincoln Hawk is played by Sylvester Stallone. So, I'll just read the synopsis for those that may not know what the movie is. He's a struggling trucker who arm wrestles on the side to make extra cash while trying to rebuild his life. After the death of his wife, he tries to make amends with his son, who he left 10 years earlier. Upon their first meeting, his son does not think too highly of him until he enters the World Arm Wrestling Championship in Las Vegas. His hope is to receive the grand prize of $100,000, but more importantly, the expensive custom semi-truck that has the big Hawk logo on the side. So what are the odds you win a truck that has the logo on the side that matches your last name?
Right.
That's weird.
It didn't happen on purpose, did it?
Fun coincidence.
Just a coincidence. Just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Just the magic of Vegas.
Maybe you guys knew this already. There's an over-the-top arm wrestling tournament. That's what the movie's based on, is the over-the-top arm wrestling tournament that's in real life.
Oh, that actually exists?
Yeah. It's
The tournament was first?
Yeah. 1986 is when it started. Now, here's the character that it's based on. The real-life guy is named John Berzink. He's a real-life arm wrestler who won. So there's a trucker's class in the over-the-top arm wrestling division. You could enter the trucker's division of the over-the-top arm wrestling division. That's who this guy is based on. And the guy's forearm, they showed a picture of it. It's 16 inches around on his forearm. And his other arm is 14. So that's who he's based, so Stallone was based upon. Was
Are we
this
sure
guy.
That's from the arm wrestling?
Well, we're going blue.
He was wrestling something.
There's a lot of time in that sleeper cab.
Hey, you have a lot of alone time, I guess.
Right? It's a lonely job.
And the actual tournament, you do win a semi-truck. So he drove it around during the time the movie was going on to help promote it. And then he sold it and bought a Corvette.
Of course. That's it?
Yeah.
He could have bought like four Corvettes. Trucks are those things are expensive.
Maybe they've changed since 1986 or whatever. I don't know, but
okay.
But I think more sporting events need a trucker class, if you ask me.
Good point.
Yeah,
I would love to see like the NFL Super Bowl truck driver class.
Trucker,
nothing but truck drivers playing football for Sunday.
That'd be awesome.
How would that fit in the MMA hierarchy?
Or maybe you got synchronized swimming trucker class. I'd watch that too.
Oh wow. Gymnastics. I don't think you want to see a trucker in a Leo, do you? Or
I don't think you can see a lot of those guys on the rings.
That'd be awesome. Ugh. Well, the truck at the beginning, the older truck that he has, appeared in the Wizard movie as well. And then, get this, they wanted to cast Don Johnson as Lincoln Hawk instead of Sylvester Stallone.
Was he too busy doing Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man to commit to this?
Or Miami Vice. It would have been around the Vice time. But yeah, can you imagine Don Johnson as Lincoln Hawk?
That'd be horrible.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
I mean, it wasn't good with Stallone. So.
No.
Well, you know.
There's a difference between not good and horrible.
I'm assuming you guys all watched this show when you were like 8, 10, 12 years old when it came out, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
After seeing this movie, tell me you had to like go with your friends and instantly try that over the top move to see if it gave you.
Oh yeah,
you had to try it like right away. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Any luck?
It does nothing.
No. No.
Completely useless.
I guess at this time Stallone had a lot more star power than Don Johnson, so they went ahead and went with Stallone on that one. Probably a good move. In the movie, I don't know if you remember, I watched it again recently. In the movie, at the end, when they're doing the tournament, the announcer keeps saying over and over and over again that this is a double elimination tournament. Well, I read that the Bull Hurley, so the guy he faced at the end, was undefeated when he faced Lincoln Hawk in the final match. Since it was a double elimination tournament, Hawk would have had to beat Hurley twice, not once. I was like, oh, okay. Right. I was like, uh-oh.
Now, was that the big bald guy?
Yeah, Bull Hurley.
But that was not the guy that drank the motor oil, right?
No, that was not the guy that drank the motor oil, which,
that guy's name was like Grizzly something or other.
Grizzly, yeah.
Of course
it
was.
If you go back and watch the movie, which I did, unfortunately, to prep for this death match, in the in the matchup before he drinks the Valvoline, he eats a burning cigar, like spits all the smoke out of his mouth. So, yeah, he was a 2 or 3-trick pony as far as putting improper things in his mouth.
Okay. Yeah, you're doing it wrong, man.
All right, let's see if this will work here. I don't know how our bandwidth will hold up, but...
If the guy's doing those things, how's he even getting, like, past the age of 20, you know?
Exactly.
Well, in this clip, though, he doesn't exactly drink it.
Look in the favor,
Hulk Hurley. What is he doing then, Ben?
It's dribbling out of his mouth.
That's just good for sports performance right there. A little valve.
Yeah.
It all dribbles out of his mouth. He doesn't actually drink it. It's all psychological.
5 day, whatever.
Isn't that what you do before you get into a fight or, you know, head out in the field for football?
I mean, I lube up for certain things, but not that way.
Right. Okay. Funny story. I worked with a guy. This is probably 15 years ago. He said him and some college guys. So here you are already in trouble when you hear that. But they were at a party and somebody paid not the guy I was working with, but somebody else at the party, $20 to drink a quart of oil. And he did it. Needless to say, about 30 minutes later, they were heading to the emergency room.
Why?
For $20.
Dude, that's not even going to cover your copay.
Right?
Well, it was the late 90s, maybe. I don't know, but probably not.
Right.
Maybe he had good insurance, so.
He had good insurance.
Right. If you guys are ready for me to lay down some smack as to why Lincoln Hawk's going to beat your character, I'm ready to put it down.
Let's, Yeah, let's go ahead.
Let's hear it.
Wait, well, do we have to talk about our character first?
Yeah,
though?
Let's
do your guys.
Let's do your character first. Yep. So,
all right.
Do we have to talk about him?
Yep.
Oh,
okay. So
that's how this works.
We got Jack Burton, hero from Big Trouble in Little China. His truck is called the Pork Chop Express, and he is a successful trucker. And as we see in the movie, he finds himself in Chinatown fighting demons and Bigfoot and ninjas.
Lopan.
That's right. All kinds of fun stuff. And he's got, we see him with his fun network of friends, and he gets into a wacky adventure. So, and the rest of it, I'm going to, that's just the overview of who we're talking about, but I'm going to save some other bits for later.
The good bits.
That's right.
How many times have you seen Big Trouble in Little China?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know. I watched it first time I saw it, you know, I think when it first came out on video, when I was like 12 or whatever, 10, something like that.
Blockbuster.
Loved it then. Yeah. Just, you know, local video store. And, I think it was like a sleepover. I think it was one of those, like, you know, handful of buddies all spending the night at somebody's house. And that was the movie that we rented for the night.
Yeah.
And it was great because it was just a, you know, it was a live action cartoon. You got Kurt Russell running around doing his John Wayne impression.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then just comedic hijinks ensue.
I love those. We used to do those when we were kids, too. You go rent a bunch of movies and stay up till 2 in the morning and eat lots of bad food. How about you, Ben? When did you see this?
You know, I can't remember the first time I saw it, but I remember when I was a younger person, which I'm not exactly old now, but as a kid, me and my brother and my dad, we'd go to Blockbuster or whatever movie store, and we would just walk down the aisles and we would pick a movie just like based on the cover.
Oh, really?
We'd just go, that looks like fun. Let's see what this is all about. And Big Trouble in Little China was one of them. You know, we just saw the cover. We're like, oh, you know, Kurt Russell, Escape from New York, you know, read the synopsis and we're like, what can go wrong? And it turned out to be a fantastic movie that probably, you know, like a 10-year-old shouldn't see, but I did. So it is what it is.
How many hits and misses play using that method, Ben, with let's watch this based on the cover?
So the miss column is probably way, way heavier than the hit column.
Would you take them back right away and then just go get another one? Or did you just like, ah, screw it, I'll just have to wait till tomorrow?
It depends on like how bad it was. I mean, there was a few that, yeah, we're like, yeah, let's go find something else. And we'd like, you know, go rent something that we'd seen before. But every now and then it's like, oh, it's not good. So let's not finish watching it. And it's due back Thursday. So
yeah,
we'll wait till Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Lee, you want to regale us with how we're going to win this one?
Sure. Before we do that, I want to let you guys know, for whatever reason, Ben's audio like goes in and out for me. So I'm getting like half a conversation. So if you say anything about me, I don't know it.
Okay.
Perfect. But
this death match, it's hard for me because Jack Burton is like one of my spirit animals. In fact, hold on, if I can move my camera around here, like literally, like I've got his poster on the wall.
Yeah.
Drew Struzan movie poster art.
Yeah, and now here you are rooting for Lincoln Hawk.
Half-heartedly at best.
This could hurt a little bit.
I think that gives us the advantage.
Lincoln Hawk, in that movie, he was a quiet professional. He walked softly and carried a big stick, and he wasn't all about the talk and the jazz. Where Jack Burton, if you go back and watch that movie, he is all mouth.
Yeah.
Like pretty much the whole time, like everything that he gets out of, other than catching the knife and throwing it back in a low pan, it's because someone else helped him out, like one of his buddies or that wizard guy or Kim Cattrall. But he just continues to screw up the entire movie and just gets bailed out by his buddies and dumb luck. Where Lincoln Hawk, he just handles business. And when he turns his hat on backwards, it's like a switch and you can't stop him. That's what he said. It's like a switch and he can't be stopped. Plus, he beats a guy that can drink motor oil. I don't know what else they can say.
Yep.
He needs cigars. Yeah.
And he has a training montage. I mean, come on. It's a Stallone movie. Has the weight. He's working out all the time. Has the weight in the truck. Yep.
Then just
he's doing pull-ups on the front of his truck. He doesn't need a gym room, a gym. It's all right there in his truck. A
couple quick counterpoints.
Plus he fights for the love of his son. And that's like, you know, that's like monster energy right there. That's why he wins.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, so he wears a clip-on tie.
That's probably for safety reasons.
Yeah, he does.
Right.
And he brushes his teeth in his suspenders. He's a confident man.
As one does.
He's a confident man.
Yeah.
So before Al gets into the nitty-gritty, I'm just going to rebut a couple of Lee's points there.
Yeah.
So he beats a guy who drinks motor oil. However, Lee Searcy pointed out that he knows somebody that drank motor oil and 20 minutes later was in the ER. So that guy was already weakened by the motor oil, which allowed him to win.
Yeah. The Valvoline did more damage than Lincoln Hawk's huge forearm there.
Secondly, You guys talked about him doing the pull-ups and the push-ups. He's got his home gym right there on his truck. I don't know if you noticed. Yeah. Jack Burton doesn't need a gym. He's already there, man.
Yeah.
He's already prime performance. He doesn't need a switch. He's right. Just there.
He's always on. All right. So to add on to that, a few fun facts here. So the movie or the truck that Lincoln Hawk is driving, the truck, because come on, it's a where is it in my notes? Oh, it's a 1967 what is it? Auto Car A64. That's the make and model of that truck in the year. That movie came out in what, 86? 87.
87.
So that's a 20-year-old truck. And it has no sleeper cab, okay? He's driving around with his kid in a truck with no sleeper cab that's 20 years old. And his only way, his only hope to get a halfway decent truck is to arm wrestle. You know what that tells me? Tells me he's a bad trucker. Dude's bad at his job. He is not good.
You know what
Jack
that tells
Burton,
me,
on the other hand, what's that?
You know what that tells me?
One, what's that?
That the guy knows how to maintain a truck if it's 20 years old. So that guy's hardcore maintenance.
Come on. It's a diesel. Those things get 2 million miles before they need an oil change. That's not a good excuse. Also, maybe if he weren't spending all of his time doing lat pulls on the grill and actually driving the thing, he could afford a better truck so his kid isn't sleeping in the passenger seat of a 20-year-old POS. All right? Jack Burton, on the other hand.
Sleeper cabs. Sleep is a crutch for the weak, Al.
Yeah.
He's just raising his boy right.
He's made of iron. He's burning all his sleeper cab.
He's burning all his money on horse steroids and hotel rooms. Okay.
And trucker
speed. Jack Burton, on the other hand, he's driving a 1985 Freightliner. This movie came out in 86, which means his truck was 1 year old. All right. Now, you also notice that the physique of Burton isn't as ripped and swole as Stallone's. You go, why? Because instead of squatting on his truck, he's actually driving his truck so much so that he can afford a brand new truck and doesn't need to arm wrestle to get himself a new truck. He just drops the coin instead of dropping the hammer. Okay?
Boom.
Much, much better trucker. In the world of, as far as trucking goes, Jack Burton, hands down, better trucker. Okay?
But in a way, he was kind of a truck driving podcaster because he was always on his CB just talking out into the ether.
Yeah, that's what they did. Yeah, that Pork Chop Express, man, that thing, it's got to keep moving. That's his only socialization because he's not, hitting up the gyms at every stop.
He's not in Vegas. He was wrestling.
I'm just bringing up as
he was an auger before it was cool.
That is a weakness for Jack Burton.
Yeah. I think he has a strong mouth, but not so strong in the arms.
You know what he does have, though? And you even pointed this out, Lee. He's got the reflexes. As we see early in the film, when his little buddy like flings the bottle towards him, he catches it because it's all in the reflexes. He doesn't need, the yoked upper body. He's got the agility of a cat. Yeah. And like you did point out, he's the one who he caught the knife and then threw the knife. Now, consider this. Maybe his friends were the ones doing all the work through the movie, right? Mm-hmm. But had they not been there, he could have been seen as fully capable, but he didn't have to step up because he had them.
Now, there's the one scene where he's got the machine gun and he decides to get cocky and shoot in the air and knocks the bricks onto himself. And he's like literally passed out for like 80% of the fight. Without his friends, he's done. He's done right there.
So,
right. Okay. Because if he had been conscious and up fighting, you wouldn't need, Wing Chang and whoever and Egg Chen. Wang Chung, right. What's his name? Wang is something. Wait. I can't remember his last name.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's just trying to let his friends and, the ninja clan show how they have fighting prowess. So he's actually a giver and a helper when it comes to that. So
if we chalk that move up to just, a lapse, one poor moment of judgment, a lapse in judgment, that's one. Whereas Lincoln Hawk's entire life is a lapse in judgment. Hence the 20-year-old hoopie with no sleeper cab that he's driving around because he can't afford a new damn truck.
Okay. Well, if it's, I would say concede, if it's trucking ability, money-making ability, maybe. But on the other hand, his father-in-law was a millionaire. So maybe he didn't need to work, I guess. I don't know.
Jack Burton's father-in-law or Lincoln Logan's father-in-law?
No, Hawk's father-in-law.
Well, weren't they divorced?
No, they're married.
Oh.
He just took off.
He probably just didn't give him, and his father-in-law probably didn't hook him up because he was disappointed. Like, he saw how he handled his money with the trucking company. He was like, I'm not giving that guy money. He's just going to burn it on steroids and, you know, weigh.
Right.
Well, if it's I'll concede, if it's the ability to run a trucking company, maybe I would concede. But if we're looking at a fight between the two, then I think Hawk definitely has the advantage.
Oh, if the two of them were actually get into fisticuffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Burton's gonna get mopped up.
If it's running a trucking company, okay, maybe Burton wins. But we never hear about where Burton got his truck. Does he? I don't think it ever really says, does it? He just has a trucking company.
I think it's his truck. I was under the impression that it's his personal truck. I don't think he's working for somebody else.
Yeah, I think it's his personal truck.
He's an owner-operator.
One of the things I like about that movie is I don't think either of the protagonists had sleeves on at any point in either of those movies. And they were very well greased up a lot of that time.
Burton had the jacket for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But once it got hot, that, you know, he had the guns out.
When he infiltrates the brothel, I think he puts on a suit and he pretends to be like Todd Sweeney or some crazy name. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Right. Name.
Okay. Other than that, no sleeve enthusiasts in that movie. It's gun show time, man.
Especially on the on Over the Top. Those guys are just insane.
I mean, if you put that much work into your arms, you're not hiding those hogs. Yeah. You're gonna keep them on display.
Ow. Exactly. No, right. Exactly. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's go to the next one, which is I categorize it the Repugnant Rumble.
Ooh.
This one, okay, we'll let the OMA guys go first with their contestant.
Is this
which one is it?
Mumra versus you, Skeletor?
Mumra, yep.
Ben, that's all you, buddy.
Oh, hold on there. That's not fair.
Put you on the spot.
Just because Al has never seen friggin' Thundercats, all of a sudden I'm the expert.
I've seen it. I just didn't watch it enough to know anything about it. Skeletor, I can talk all day, but Mumra, I got nothing. I bring nothing to the Mumra party. We got a costume change.
We even got a costume change live on air.
Ooh.
I had to become Mumra the other living.
Is this your turning the hat moment?
Oh. He's going on Lincoln Hawk on it.
That's right. all right. So Mumra is the main bad guy. That's the English professor about it. From Thundercats. He's a mummified demon priest who is immortal, hence the name Mumra the Ever-Living. He's got all sorts of black magic and evil sorcery at his fingertips that is only increased when he transforms into Mumra the Ever-Living. So he also has this is my favorite fact about Mumra. He's got a demonic bulldog for his sidekick, who is called Ma Mutt. You can't go wrong there.
Nice.
Clever.
So he's got, like I said, he appears as a decayed, mummified, evil priest, wearing a red cloak and glowing red eyes, very disheveled looking, not very threatening. But then he speaks his incantation of ancient spirits of evil, transform this decayed form to Mumra, the ever-living, and he becomes Mumra, the ever-living. And like I said, that just gets him even more power. He transforms up to 9 feet tall, becomes very ripped physique-wise, and just lays waste to Third Earth, or at least attempts to. He's also got a secondary form. He can go to Mumra, the all-powerful. Ever-living and all-powerful, kind of stacking the deck against you guys here, just throwing that out there. I would list off all of his different magic and abilities that he has, but there is a ton, and it would probably put us over time. Just know he's got it.
He's got a lot. Okay. Did you watch it when it first came out, Ben, or was this later?
Oh, no. I became a fan later. It just I always tell myself and tell people that I'm like a reverse hipster. Instead of saying I was into stuff before it was cool, I just get into stuff after it was cool, or if the like the antithesis, everyone likes He-Man and stuff like that. So I'm like, I like Thundercats because it's different. Ha ha ha. So
did you buy any of the figures?
I think yeah, I had a Lion-O for a while and the Panther guy, the Panthro.
Those are pretty rare, I heard, because they didn't really sell a lot of them, so they weren't really out in the market very long. So they might be worth something.
Yeah. Well, you know, whatever person pulled them out of the dumpster sure is lucky. Because I don't have them anymore.
You don't have them. Oh, crap.
Oh, God, no. So, yeah, he's, like I said, it's got the magician aspect. He can shapeshift into different people and forms up to and including copying Lion-O. He's also got his own power sword, which is the Sword of Plundar, which sounds like it should be in He-Man.
But... really? Okay.
Right. So there you go.
If he can take other forms, then he could make himself look like He-Man, which would then just send Skeletor running away.
All right. So moving on to our next match.
We're done. <No. laughs> All right. So we've got Skeletor on our side. So this is Mumra versus Skeletor.
Hey, before you go, Leon, Skeletor, I just want to let you guys know that I cannot pick up anything that Ben just said. So I missed all of that. But I was trying to read your lips. I don't know what it is. I can hear everyone else's audios except Ben's. But I was trying very hard to read your lips. But the only things I really picked up was something about Mumra being a weak, old, tired villain that couldn't even beat a group of like pussycats or something. I don't know. I'm terrible at lip reading. But anyway, on to Skeletor.
That's exactly what he said.
That's what I thought.
Well played, Lee.
That was good. That was good. I like that. All right. Well, Skeletor was, you know, was the main antagonist for the MOTU comic book, cartoons, all of that. He's always trying to beat out He-Man and get into Castle Grayskull, of course. And it was his abilities. So he's an extremely powerful sorcerer with control over a vast, so we underline vast, range of dark magical powers, such as teleporting over vast distances, sending telepathic commands to his minions, grow plants, hypnotism, illusions, he can reflect magic, he can project freeze rays, open gateways between dimensions. He also has scientific skill as well. And then in both the Filmation and the New Adventures, they also show him as a highly skilled swordsman wielding two swords. So he's got his Havoc Staff, of course. That's his iconic power, is having the Havoc Staff that does everything, it seems like. It destroys He-Man and makes his coffee in the morning. I don't know. It just seems to do everything. And, of course, he's got all of his minions surrounding him as well. He also has been, his origins are a little, or vary from obviously several different iterations, but he was King Randor's brother, I think, in the new iteration. But he also worked with Hordak as well and got some of his magical knowledge from him. And of course, his voice with Alan Oppenheimer. So that alone, I think Mumra's done. I mean, you have Alan Oppenheimer on your side. Come on.
That's not fair.
And of course, we have the live action movie. Well, it was good, but still excellent actor. I forgot who played him. Who played Skeletor?
Frank Langella.
There we go.
Frank Langella, yeah.
So he's got Alan Oppenheimer and Frank Langella on his side. I mean, I don't know. And he doesn't. Oh, I guess I'll wait. Lee Bachman's got some good stuff, but that's what we've got for Skeletor on our side. Plus, his toys are just amazing. I was just scrolling through all the different Skeletor toys. I mean, come on. He's got dragon. What's the one with the dragon on his shoulder? And he's got the claws.
What was that one?
Terraclaw
yeah. Skeletor. And come on. That's Skeletor right. In a nutshell.
For my contribution to the fight, This fight's already been kind of predetermined, guys. I hate to tell you this, and I went straight to the source. We've got MOTU versus Thundercats right here.
Yep.
Wow.
So I'm just looking at this. So Mumra can never put away the Thundercats, right? They always bested him.
Yeah.
Here's Skeletor taking on the Thundercats. There he's going to put Snarf down in one little blast.
Okay, that's shoot. Don't.
And Cap, it's Snarf,
whatever
dude.
Their names were. And then in this panel, he punches Chitara and that tiger guy, whatever his name was. And then he puts Panthro in the Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
And so Lion-O decides to, like, hey, I should step up and protect my boys
yeah.
and girls. And Skeletor just puts him down, too. Like, but damn, you only need one eye.
Nice.
Lion-O loses an eye.
Yeah.
So in a series of, like, five panels, he did what Mumra can never do. So
I guess if he was, you know, fighting the Thundercats, you got an argument. But in a death match, he's fighting Mumra.
But Mumra couldn't defeat the Thundercats, and Skeletor did.
So, listen, if they're going head-to-head...
But technically, Mumra is never defeated either, because he is the ever-living.
Immortal.
Well, but
Mumra is immortal.
Doesn't Mumra... Yeah, but to do that, doesn't he have to sleep? He has to go in some sort of rejuvenation chamber?
Here's the thing. Yeah, but he's got his...
When he gets too weak, he has to go back to his sarcophagus, yes.
So... Here's one of the advantages that Mumra has. All right, let's say we got an octagon where they're gonna fight. Right now, Mumra's showing up as this frail little old man. Mumra. Skeletor's over there in his corner getting cocky. Okay, Skeletor's like, this really? Why don't you just bring Snarf out? This is a joke. And then you know what happens when you get over cocky and you underestimate your opponent? Bam, you get owned. And Mumra transforms. And like I said before, if he just transforms into He-Man, shapeshifts into He-Man, Skeletor's gone. Right. He's not even going to stay in the ring.
Well, and also, too, though, Skeletor, he's got that ripped abs and pecs and everything else.
I mean, he knows his way around the gym.
He doesn't have to transform. It's just there.
Yeah, but again, you lose all the psychological advantage. Like, oh, look at my ram's head on a stick. Like, that's it.
He did take out Snarf. That's awesome.
Yeah, because that's something to brag about. Come on.
Yeah, that's hard.
That means he has the cuteness factor does not sway him one bit. He's artless.
You don't hear us talking about how Mummer could take out Orko, okay? That's not a factor.
Yeah, right?
Okay, so you're thinking, but what other abilities? I mean, he can, like I said, he can teleport, telepathic, hypnotism. He can hypnotize Mumra.
Yeah, he's ability. Telepathic. He can just own Skeletor's brain.
Abilities of Mumra, powers, astral projection, blast power, cosmic awareness, dimensional manipulation, divine powers, duplication, earth manipulation, electric disruption, energy-based constructs, fire control, flight, force field, healing, heat generation, hypnosis, ice control, illusion casting. I can keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally goes all the way to the W's. I stopped at I.
Somebody wants to see Orko versus Snarf.
That would be good. I would watch that.
Orko, hands down.
I would not.
Yeah.
The winner goes on to fight Uni from Dungeons & Dragons.
Machma just wants to see all of them burn in a painful death.
Yeah, I don't want to see him fight. That'd be terrible. That just annoys me.
So I'll say this: I'll say that the Skeletor is probably a better physical fighter with weapons and fisticuffs, but overall with magic, I mean, come on, Mumra's got all those things that Ben just listed and then some.
As long as he's not in a sarcophagus. So he is. It is a little bit limited on time of day or time of the year. I don't know how much he has to.
Oh no!
How often he has to sleep in the sarcophagus?
It's just once he gets weakened, which they have no time frame of what that is, and he has no time frame of when he has to stay in it.
Okay, so it's not like once a year or every 10 years or.
No,
and he's got Mama watching out for him in the sarcophagus.
Yeah. In the cartoon and in the, all the stories, when the Thundercats beat him, he retreats back to his sarcophagus to hatch his next plan. Much like Skeletor retreats back to Snake Mountain.
Okay. All right.
Like I said, I can't hear Ben, so I'm just reading lips. I read something about Mumra needs naps all the time or so, I don't know. But
he's an old man.
Going back to the Bible on the head-to-head here, Skeletor does... Like, which way do I need to go here? This way. outwits Mumra, and with like a help of a secret magical potion, like turns him into like his little ethereal servant, and Skeletor just has him doing whatever he wants him to do.
So, nice.
Did Beastman write that comic?
I did write this. Oh, it's DC Comics. That's who wrote it.
I heard they're going under anyway, so that doesn't matter.
Right.
Fake news.
I know. Fake news. Also, have you noticed that, like, whose name goes on top of the title here?
Yeah.
I think
not,
maybe.
Not Skeletors?
Not Skeletors.
I mean, yeah, the name on top looked like it said He-Man, not Skeletor, so.
I don't know, guys.
I call it a draw.
It's looking kind of weak for Mumra. I don't know.
No. So,
well, of course you say that.
Right. So, we need somebody from the outside. Like, hey, where's Billy? Can he call this one?
We need to let the fans decide on this one.
What do you want?
We need a tiebreaker.
You decide based on our arguments who wins, Mumra or Skeletor. Mumra, the immortal and all-powerful god, or the dude with the bony face?
Well, I mean, underneath... I don't know nothing about these guys. So underneath the wrap is a skeleton. So we got skeleton versus skeleton. Right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Except he transforms into a giant, you know, behemoth.
Yeah. Mumra says ancient spirits of evil transform this decayed form to Mumra the ever-living, and he grows to be over 9 feet and ripped.
That means he's got the reach. What's Skeletor, like 5'8"? Come on.
He doesn't need it. He has his Havoc staff.
Eddie! Eddie!
Help, Eddie!
Can you jump in here? I got nothing. Yeah.
Eddie says, here's Eddie. Mumra needs to take a nap, guys. Come on.
Nap time for Mumra.
Really, that's all you're going to focus on? Okay.
But I like mummies better than skeletons. Does that count?
Yes, because Mumra is a skeleton.
Three
mummy.
Weeks to say.
Yeah, I think Skeletor would have his sword through him before he got done saying his little chant.
Man, that's not unfair.
You guys have clearly not seen the cartoon. He says it quick. He's a master.
It does. Snarf. Honestly, from some of the things that you've been saying, like, I kind of think it might be Skeletor.
Nah. This game is rigged.
So we're 1-1.
This game is dumb.
This game is dumb.
But Jack Burton beats Lincoln Hawk.
Yeah. So I think we're maybe 1-1 there.
Tied, and you got,
we got a tiebreaker coming up.
Yeah, we got a tiebreaker coming up. So
figure it out.
All right. Well, let's move on to the tiebreaker then. Yo, Joe. Oh, another wardrobe change. All right. I love it.
Ben's going to be layered in 30 shirts.
He's going to like sweating.
So that's why you can't hear me, because I'm trying not to pass out.
He came dressed for a nerd strip
tease.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were doing strip hordes of power, so.
Strip hordes of power. So
if it's He-Man, if it's Motu, would it be Strip Pokor?
Yes.
Cats, would it be Strip Pokra?
Yeah, she runs around with a giant metal pole. That's her weapon.
All right. So we've got the tiebreaker here, the backstabbing beatdown, which is Starscream versus Destro from G.I. Joe. So since you guys went first, I'll go first. So we've got Starscream, of course. Yeah.
Hang on a sec, Lee. So the point of this one isn't necessarily who's going to win in head-to-head combat, because...
No, obviously.
One's a giant, you know, metal robot.
Yes.
But it's which one is a bigger backstabber
to their
leader.
Okay. The overall, yes. Who's going to move the cause along by any means necessary.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Good luck.
So we've got... Of course, Starscream from Transformers, who was in the 1984 cartoon. And he was voiced by Christopher Collins, as we know, who played Mr. Burns on The Simpsons, but did the voice of Cobra Commander in G.I. Joe. Awesome voice. I mean, that voice, everybody knows that voice.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody.
Yeah, I can strip paint with that voice.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. So Starscream, of course, is, like I said, Megatron's lieutenant, second in command, because that's kind of what we're doing here, the second in commands, and helped Megatron on Cybertron, of course. He also attended the Cybertron War Academy, which, so he's got some training, evidently. I didn't know that. He did some
training. Is that accredited?
Yeah, those are all accredited. That's a degree, evidently, on Cybertron. I
mean, for all we know, that's like the DeVry of college. Cybertron.
That's maybe he got it online, one of those online diplomas. Continued. He worked with Skyfire. If you remember that episode on the cartoon, that he was friends with Skyfire, who was one of Cybertron's main scientists. He was the one that came up with in 1985 the Combaticons. Real good friend with Astro Train, as we know.
That was my nickname in Boy Scouts.
Astro Train?
Yeah.
Of course, we know in the movie when they killed him off, I thought that was an interesting plot point. When they killed him off in the movie, they didn't bring him back until 2005. So they left him dead for almost 20 years, which...
Oh, wow, he died, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But the...
Weird.
I was just thinking of some characters, you know, when they typically kill them off in Marvel or DC or any of them, it seems like it's, oh, 3 issues later, we're just going to bring them back, and they don't keep them.
You know what would have been great is if they killed him off and then replaced him with like Rodimus Scream or something. That would have been awesome. Yeah. It's the best Transformers move ever.
Exactly. Exactly. So Starscream was one of his quotes I thought was kind of interesting. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay. Yeah, I will rule the universe even if I'm the only one left in the universe, which this segues into one of the reasons why he's going to win. So there was an episode in season 2 of the G1 Transformers where he was on Cybertron and they had this room with the spark of each of several several Transformers. It's kind of their soul. So they didn't have a body. It's just their energy. Well, he destroyed the entire building and killed thousands of Transformers without even blinking an eye. So this guy...
Sounds like it really helped out Megatron.
This guy is dedicated to the cause, because these Transformers, I guess, were enemies of the Decepticons and he didn't want them to get out. And so he said, you know what?
There it is.
We're just getting rid of them. So yeah. That guy is a backstabbing guy that is not afraid to kill the entire universe to get what he wants. So he is dedicated. He is an opportunist, and that's one of the reasons why Megatron keeps him around, I think, is because he is willing and so dedicated to the cause. Yes, he might try to backstab. Yeah. Murder.
Murder!
That's for you, Leo.
He is dedicated to the cause so much that's why Megatron keeps him around.
All right. Well, that's an interesting argument.
Let me give the backstory, Al, and then you can give the points as to why. All right.
Wait, real quick, before you do, though, if we're going to talk voiceovers or voice actors as a muscle flex, Maurice LaMarche. Maurice LaMarche was the voice of Destro in, like, the second iteration of a G.I. Joe cartoon. He was also the brain, among many other things. So I think that's a mic drop on, you know, that guy that you had. Go ahead, Ben.
So, Destro.
Yeah.
Destro was born in Scotland. His full name is James McCullen Destro the 24th.
That's a heritage right there, son. Legacy.
He is the Laird of Castle Destro in the Scottish Highlands. I almost said in the Cottage Highlands.
Yeah, does Starscream have a title?
Yeah, and a castle.
Yeah, has a degree.
Yeah, from the ITT tech of Cybertron. Come on.
The Destro clan has designed and sold weapons for centuries. Destro is the faceless power behind the current incarnation, which he has titled MARS, the Military Armament Research Syndicate.
As an ITT graduate, I take a deep, deep offense to that, Garrison.
It's an accreditable.
The So the Destros have been making and selling weapons for centuries. In fact, the reason why Destro wears the mask is that it's a sign of, it's a tradition, it's a sign of power and standing within the clan. Way back when, I'm not going to give the date because it's way back when, the Destro clan was caught selling arms to both sides of some factions that were in a war. And neither side wanted to get rid of them because they were doing so good getting them armaments that they just forced this one ancestor to put on the metal mask. And so now Destro wears it in honor of that.
See, that's a lineage of backstabbing and undermining.
Right. He obviously, you know, he will battle Cobra Commander himself up to and including selling armaments to the Joes. Because that's just who he is. He's super rich because of his heritage and because of, you know, the Mars Syndicate Bear thingamabobber. His only one weakness is that he is in love with the Baroness, so every now and then that kind of gets in the way.
Yep.
Al, take it away.
Also, he also had a direct hand in creating Serpentor, who usurped the power from Cobra Commander. He worked with Dr. Mindbender and Tamox and Zamot in creating the guy who took over and crushed Cobra Commander. Starscream didn't do that. Okay.
Actually, didn't they prove that in the G.I. Joe movie? That was, they planted the little ear bug or something in his ear that gave him the idea for Serpentor.
It doesn't matter. He still did it. He still followed through with it.
But,
you know,
he may have replaced Cobra Commander, but he didn't put himself in charge. He just created a better leader that he can't usurp. That was a dumb move.
No, Destro doesn't want to be in charge. Destro wants to play both sides. It's not going to benefit him financially if he's in charge. He wants to stay behind the scenes so he can sell his guns to both G.I. Joe and Cobra and whoever else wants the guns. That's how so he's always going to undermine whoever's in charge of him. That's the better position to be in. Unlike Starscream.
I would say the fact that he backstabs both sides, he's backstabbing at twice the volume of Starscream.
That's right. He's a career backstabber. That's his job. That's his lineage.
Serpentor had Hitler DNA. They just went too far.
If you're going to have somebody take over your evil master, where are you going to turn? Hitler!
DNA!
He was the ultimate evil master! That's where you're going to grow to create the ultimate evil master.
Did they steal his little tiny mustache? What'd they do? What DNA are they talking about?
I don't know, they probably got some off of Eva Braun's corpse or something. I don't
I'm going to get my ITT degree right now. I'll be back.
Listen, they were in a bunker for a while. There's going to be DNA plates.
I don't know. I have to stick with legitimately Starscream killed more characters than Destro ever did because of the
bunker. But he's going around killing people, which benefited Megatron. Destro wasn't out to benefit Cobra Commander. Destro was out to benefit himself, which makes him the ultimate backstabbing little, biatch.
I missed all of Ben's diatribe because I can't hear him for whatever reason. But did anyone bring up the Baroness?
Yeah, yes, he did. Yes.
It may have been mentioned as a weakness and a motivation.
Okay. Yeah, because she's always his super weakness. Whenever Cobra Commander or Serpentor wanted to heal Destro, it was just easily to go after the Baroness. So Starscream doesn't have that weakness. I mean, but Baroness was...
Yeah, just being killed for how many years?
Destro just put his tail between his legs every time.
Starscream has the weakness of incompetence. If he's
Starscream
ever
has the weakness of dying.
He screws it up.
But, I mean, honestly, did Destro win any fights? I mean, he's kind
Destro
of
didn't have to
too.
Fight. Destro essentially won all the fights because he provided the weapons to everybody. So he wins every fight.
So wait, Starscream died in the movie. And then you said he didn't come back until 05. When did Destro die?
He hasn't. Die? Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
I don't think that's coincidental at all.
Well, no. Before he died, though, you got to remember that was about 2-3 million years after they left Cybertron. So,
and I do want to say in the
he's
in
a
the
robot
Marvel comic book.
Quit bringing up comic books, Lee.
Past to the cartoons, when Cobra Commander makes his move and gets rid of Serpentor and comes back into power, I'm pretty sure he buries Destro under a mountain. and kills him with a cave in, along with like Major Blood and Baroness and a few other folks. Pretty sure. I'll have to look it up.
I think that's irrelevant. I don't think that matters at all.
But wait, seems pretty relevant. As Cersei brought up, though, it was a Marvel comic book, so the next issue he was probably back.
Right. Hi, Debbie.
Well, I don't know. I think Starscream is a venomous snake, and if you let your guard down, he's gonna snap at you.
Destra is a born and bred
third party
roomed backstabber.
Do we need he's a third the 24th to call this?
Yeah,
he's the 24th version of himself. Destra wins.
Destro wins.
It's 500 years of backstabbing. It's in his DNA. Yeah. Starscream doesn't even have DNA.
He couldn't.
Hi, Debbie.
Destro couldn't stop backstabbing if he wanted to.
Right. Eddie, where are you at?
Yeah, he's probably you dissed his ITT certificate. He's not happy about that.
No, he
yeah,
has to tore
it up. Here. I ripped it in half, Al. That's how sad I was.
Bias, Eddie.
All right, Eddie, make the call. Who wins?
Eddie's biased, though.
I gotta make the call?
Yeah. Based on our arguments, not your personal biasness.
Yeah, not because the Transformer movie is your favorite movie.
Is it?
I'm going to have to go. Yeah. Top 10. Given the argument posed by both sides, putting my bias aside, which is hard, because I'm all heart. I'm heart with a beard. Or am I a beard with a heart? I'm going to have to go Destro. he betrayed the Joes and Cobra. Starscream was just, he had the blinders on.
That's it.
And, you know, he could only fight Lord Megatron!
That's pretty good, Eddie.
But my heart says Starscream because, God, he was a bee. He was a no-good bee.
Yes, he was. But, I agree.
But that's me weighing in.
I'm still all fun.
Our first appearance.
Two to one. We win
the death match, and we win 2 out of 3.
As Meatloaf said,
virtual high five, Al.
Ain't bad.
Wait, well, hold on. The wrong...
Oh yeah.
You may have got us this time, but we'll have to do it again and do another matchup, guys. And let's do it in person once all this crap is over.
We might let you win.
Heck yeah.
You might let us win. Oh boy.
I know.
Next time we'll tie one character behind our back.
Ormond is known for their sportsmanship.
Lee of Covert Nerd, I know that this is your show, but you lost. I gotta kick this out.
Seriously, I'll show myself the door too, because we gotta set up.
You also lost. But you brought some good arguments. I will say one of my favorite things was the not hearing Ben and making up. that was some really good smack talking. I think you deserve extra points for that. But you lose.
Also, I wasn't 100% sure if he could actually not hear me or not.
I don't know.
I think he could.
That's being a good actor, like with your
method.
Exactly. With the.
With your. But you guys are the winners of Nerd Death Match.
It was so much fun with the guys. I appreciate you listening and I hope you enjoyed it as well. You can find me again at covertnerd.net for this episode and all the other episodes. And until next time, nerd it up.